SS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A new lawsuit opens a new front in the battle over abortion, says ABC's Richard Cantu.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing New York doctor Margaret Daly Carpenter for prescribing the so-called abortion pill to a woman near Dallas in violation of Texas law. Such prescriptions are a key reason that the number of abortions has increased in the U.S. even since state bans started taking effect.
Top Republican in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, said that efforts to undermine public confidence in proven cures are not just uninformed, they're dangerous. He was discussing the benefits of the polio vaccine, and his statement came out amid public health concerns over the influence of a lawyer close to Health Secretary nominee Robert Kennedy, who has asked the FDA to yank its approval of the current polio vaccine. Today, President-elect Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game, and South Korea's parliament voted to impeach President Yoon Suk-yeol over his decision to impose martial law. His powers and duties are suspended. This is ABC News. There are new details about the man accused of killing the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, in New York City. ABC has learned the attempted killer, Luigi Mangione, or the alleged killer, Luigi Mangione, left New York not by bus, as first thought, but by train. ABC's Mike Marza has more.
Brian Thompson's murder has sparked contentious conversations over the frustration and anger aimed at the nation's healthcare industry. United Health Group's CEO, in an op-ed to the New York Times, acknowledged an overhaul of the system is needed, adding it's an effort that Brian Thompson was trying to lead. The ideas he advocated were aimed at making healthcare more affordable, more transparent, more intuitive, more compassionate, and more human. That's Brian's legacy, one that we will carry forward.
A 100-year-old survivor of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor died Wednesday in California. He had to cancel a planned visit to a remembrance ceremony last week because of declining health. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop, holding my pants up, because they would literally go down. And twice, people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Even though it's illegal under state law, more Wisconsinites are getting abortion care through telemedicine. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
An 1800s Wisconsin law caused a temporary statewide ban on abortion services after Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022. But Jenny Higgins with the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Collaborative for Reproductive Equity says even after the ban was lifted in 2023, demand for abortion pills in Wisconsin remained high.
Suggesting that even when brick and mortar facilities are offering abortion care in our state, telehealth abortion still is a really important service that many people in our state are taking advantage of through these Shield laws.
There have been about 130 orders for abortion pills per month made through Shield Law providers since July of 2023, according to WeCount data. There have also been reports of stockpiling nationwide since the election. With only 4 abortion clinics statewide, 96% of Wisconsin counties don't have an abortion provider, and about 70% of Wisconsinites of reproductive age live in a county without an abortion clinic. Higgins says while Shield Law clinicians provide critical and affordable care to Wisconsinites who grapple with numerous restrictions to abortion, attempts to criminalize both providers and patients are expected, with Black and brown patients at the highest risk.
We know historically that Black and brown women are the most likely to be criminalized during pregnancy, whether that pregnancy is ending in abortion or birth. And so I think we need to pay great attention to the ways in which some of the pregnant people with the least social power could be putting themselves at risk.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of rain and snow and highs in the mid-30s, a bit breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, rain mixed with snow and temps around 34. For Sunday, cloudy and 42. Clouds and 42 again for Monday with a slight chance of rain, 33 on Tuesday.
Currently 26 degrees.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Karigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, we are awake. Hey, lot going on this weekend. Today we got Ruth Anna Buffalo coming on, and really excited to see Ruth, and she's been doing a lot of things, and it's fun because we're able to like scope on what she's doing on Facebook and and all those other formats. So it's going to be we can grill her on all the things that we've seen.
I'm excited to talk to Ruth this week. It looks like she's doing a lot of traveling out there in D.C. and doing some good work. So, yeah, excited to talk to her. We're also going to be talking with Minnesota Historical Society's Native American Initiatives Program with Rita Walczyk-Arndt. Our good friend will be back for her biweekly updates later on.
I know. They're all our good friends, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, right now, Wendy's slaving in the other room, getting ready to set up for the market in Shakopee. And yeah. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things going on here right now, and we're going to be ready for the big market out there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So many markets going on right now. Just perfect timing for the holidays if you need to get your holiday shopping done for your loved ones, your relatives. It's really important to support indigenous and native owned businesses and crafts and vendors. So when you go to the market, definitely check everyone out, ask who made it, because sometimes the vendors, you know, might not always be the creators, so they can give you some information on who made it and maybe some, you know, cool stories on why they chose those colors in their skirt or their beads or something cool.
I like it too. We make resin earrings and necklaces and ornaments, and there's some cool big turtles Wendy's made too. And the fun thing is that, you know, people that know, we have our relatives come up and ask, this was prayed over, and absolutely we smudge off all the art that we're making here, and you know, every bead has a prayer and every pour has a prayer. So it's just a cool vibe, and helping support us and our Native artists. And we're going to have the book Banished down there too for sale. And I just picked up a bunch of those. So come on down. Kathy Coates.
What is, so the book you're talking about, To Banish Forever, A Secret Society of the Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. If, you know, that's a real historian book that was vetted out by a lot of Ho-Chunk members and tribal members and elders. I think, like, not only if you're Native or not, or Ho-Chunk or not, like, it's good information that a lot of people didn't know about history on Minnesota. Because we talk about, you know, Dakota land here and Ojibwe land up north. But the Ho-Chunks, often their story gets left out.
Yeah, good point. And so this brings it to life, and you know, what happened to us. And again, people are always astonished when I say, you know, it's illegal for Ho-Chunks to live in this state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read a few pages in that book that were, like, just very surprising that even I didn't know, learning from my immediate Ho-Chunk family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, that'll be there. And I'm not sure. I'll have to look. But I know she usually autographs them, too. I know she just got a big batch. So that's going to be, we're going to be at the Shakopee Cultural Center Thursday through Saturday.
Awesome. And that's Native Roots Trading Post. And mm-hmm. I'm sure a ton of other vendors will be there. Yes. So great for holiday shopping. And that address, the Shakopee Cultural Center, it's called, like, the Hokata T. And that address mm-hmm. is 2300 Tawahi Circle in Shakopee.
Yeah, definitely. Just look for the big, I don't know how many are there. They're like six big teepees you can see from the road.
Yeah, for sure.
And when I say big teepees, I mean, like, really big. So they're not
bigger
they're not
than the normal
kind,
ones.
They're not the kind you'd live in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you're going to be there Thursday through Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Is that a whole weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Pinch hitting for the kids because they've got some other family commitments happening. And of course, Jaleesa's in the play.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's New Native Theater's Blood Quantum Physics.
Yeah, and that's fun. And get out there and see that. And where is that? The Gremlin Theater? Is that right?
Gremlin Theater in St. Paul, yeah. And if you go...
I always think, is that really the name?
Gremlin. I know, it reminds me of that movie. Yeah, Dr. Exactly. Stately brought that movie up yesterday on the show. Gremlins?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Oh, well, that's cool.
That was funny. Yeah. So what else is going on?
Well, I want to do a shout out quick before we get Ruth on. I want to shout out our Lekwungen Ray Ojibwe Wisconsin tribal member, Donna and Dennis Dunlap. I don't know if anyone heard earlier this week, we got to talk to them quickly about how they're helping out other tribal relatives this holiday season. So if you're an LCO Ojibwe Wisconsin tribal member and you're looking to get your holiday check from the tribe, but you are unable to get that because they're not mailing them, so you have to be in person on reservation to get those holiday checks this year. But our friends at Native Blend LLC in Michigan, Donis and Denna, are helping relatives by mailing them their checks, and they're doing that free for service, and you just have to contact them, and you can get their contact information by going to Native Blend.
Yeah, definitely. And then while you're on there, check out their site, too, because they have a store, too, and that's excellent.
Handmade soaps and lots of natural stuff.
Definitely. Well, and then so there's other markets going on, too. I see Indigenous Roots Cultural Arts Center in St. Paul is hosting another Native night market on February 13th from 5 to 8. And that's 788 East 7th Street for you East Siders. Oh,
yeah, I know. This Indigenous Roots Cultural Arts Center has been putting on these night markets like the past few Fridays, I think the past couple months, but it's always got a great turnout. And yes, it's in St. Paul. So if you're afraid to travel across the river to Minneapolis, this is, you know, close to you. Also want to shout out Jamie Becker Finn, representative Jamie Becker Finn, who retired this past election season, but she owns Mukwa Coffee in Roseville, and they're doing their annual holiday market tomorrow, Wednesday, December 11th, from 4 to 8 p.m. And again, that's at Mukwa Coffee in Roseville.
Yeah, I was going to have you say that. I'm glad you did.
Mukwa. It's Ojibwe word. It means bear.
Wow. She must be from the bear clan, or it's a bear of a coffee cup, or bear of a flavored coffee.
It's a good name regardless.
I know.
Like if we had a Ho-Chunk bear coffee shop, would that be Hoonch? It'd be like Hoonch Coffee.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yum.
Franchise it. Just there do a bunch of different names.
Keep that between us. What are you, crazy? Jeez. We're gonna get that oven going and cranking out some beans tonight.
Beans?
You know, coffee beans.
Oh, okay.
That's where I don't know how you like from.
Yeah, you might have to grow those or like it might take a while.
Yeah.
I know Mako is like good, really known for their homemade bakery items too. They always go fast, so you have to get there in the morning right when they open.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, looks like we're gonna jump into break here and we have a minute left, and again we're gonna have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo on, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And like we've been spying on her. We see her all over the country, and so we're excited to get a report and get an update on Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, what's happening there. So we're really always happy to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you. What was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, like you said, we have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And always great to see you, Ruth. Oh.
I know. I think we lost her.
Us.
I know. Yeah. She is traveling, so she might be on the road.
Yeah.
In and out of service.
Yeah. So now what do we talk about?
I don't know. I was excited to talk to Ruth. Hopefully she can jump back on here. She was at the 2024 White House Tribal Nations Summit, which I thought was cool. I don't really know what that is. I was kind of hoping you could explain that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's get her back on as soon as we can. You know, again, we'll back up, and I really can't stop talking about this when it comes to all these markets or wherever you're going. When you see anything that seems fishy, ask people like who made this when it comes to the markets. Native inspired, that's not native stuff, that's basically stolen. And so we want to educate people out there. And again, you know, if you see a fresh set of earrings like at Native Roots Trading Post or any other vendor, anyone can wear those. Those are there, and you're supporting our artists. And I just saw somebody say hello, Nelly, or my cousin, from Wisconsin, and you know, we went to the same high school too. I think I'm a year older than Nelly. But she's a lot more, she's a lot more mature, but it's always good to see her at general council or whenever I get into, Wisconsin. So, we love our relatives there, Haley.
Oh, for sure. Shout out Nellie McKee and all of our McKee relatives.
Well, yeah. And you know where that name comes from, right?
First name?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nellie Hook.
Great-great-grandma.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Named great, after.
Great-great. That would be my second grade, I think.
Yeah. You're a generation behind, so yeah.
Yeah.
Or ahead, one of the way or the other. But it's always great to see Nellie. And every once in a while, Nellie, I pull out the old Central Yearbook and take a gander at us when we were so young.
Yeah, it's been a while.
No, yeah. I have to dust off the yearbook, but.
Yeah.
We're all definitely in black and white pictures.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, Ruth fell off and maybe she's on the other side of the globe where it doesn't, you know, because the planet's round and she's not getting the signal, but she was on earlier. And so I know you talked a little about Becker Finn.
Yeah.
And I just want to say a couple things about her that I remember, you know, when she first got in as state legislator, that she was being attacked all the time and pulling, you know, not backing down. And yeah. I just got to give her all the credit in the world. And she's going to be greatly missed in the state representation at the Capitol. But, you know, you can only take so much of this, and I'm finding that out in my other life and job.
Yeah, politics definitely, you know, is meant for certain people, but it's so good. Like, I feel like every time we have a DFL person on, they talk about the variety of people that they work with, like different teachers or lawyers. It's just such like a wide variety of people, and they really can put all of their unique experiences together to get more work done.
Hey, and before we have Ruth Anna Buffalo on, Dennis Dunlap, as a matter of fact, the person that you guys should be getting in touch with, you should also question and ask about where the herbs are acquired. And I think that's a good thing to talk about, too. I don't think we talk about that enough.
Yeah, and by like herbs, I'm assuming like medicine and sage and cedar.
Teas. Because we have a lot of sacred teas that, you know, that we don't want, you know, duplicated and stolen. Hey, Ruth Anna Buffalo, how are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. We see you're like a globetrotter here. We've seen pictures of you in Washington, and you and your daughter are hanging out with some good friends of ours.
Yeah, we were in D.C. last week, got invited to Vice President Kamala Harris and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff's holiday reception. So we were there, and it was nice. It was cheerful, you know, holiday atmosphere, and was able to give a Freedom for Peltier pin to Doug Emhoff's second gentleman's staffer, and asked him to relay a message kindly to Vice President Kamala Harris, you know, to encourage President Joe Biden to grant our elder Leonard Peltier clemency. So it was definitely just kind of weaving in some advocacy as usual, I guess, that all of us do, you know, where we can from within our reach. And then yesterday we were able to had received an invite and was thankful that my daughter was able to attend. And that was the 2024 White House Tribal Nations Summit. And it was good. It was kind of sad in a way, hearing sort of like farewell speeches and things and addresses from, you know, Secretary Deborah Holland and also President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. But again, they're putting a plug in for Leonard Peltier's clemency. I know many others there as well who are working behind the scenes. I believe a documentary is gonna be screened today out in DC regarding Leonard and the efforts and advocacy for his freedom. So lots of things moving for sure behind the scenes that those efforts are not letting up for sure.
Wow, that's awesome. Did you ever hear the story when I met President Obama? You ever?
I'm not sure.
No. So I, you know, because our nation really supports both parties, and I got to meet him, and I had a free Leonard Peltier big button on, and I wanted to tell him to tell his buddy at the time, Joe Biden, President Biden, to, you know, give him clemency. But I only saw him for like 15 seconds, and he was so charismatic. I shook his hand. I wet my pants and took the picture and then left. I mean, these guys are charismatic, aren't they? I mean,
yeah, no, it was Kamala was tinier than I expected. But I mean, of course, that's coming from a Hidatsa Mandan woman. But yeah, she, you know, seemed very, very tiny. and then, you know, Deb Poland always is tiny when she stands in between my daughter and I. But yeah, it was good. And yeah, they're definitely charismatic. My daughter, I just kept thinking of like what kind of experience was it for her, you know, and she was able to shake Kamala's hand, and I don't want to speak for her, but she had shared words of what so she was being a little timid in the crowd. And so I kind of reached in and shook Kamala's hand and then ushered my daughter towards her, said, "Here's my daughter." And so Maya reached out her hand and shook her hand. But Maya said to her, "Thank you for all that you do." And then Vice President Kamala Harris said, "We do this together." Like she motioned it, like, "We do this together." And my daughter was like just beaming, you know. She also got to shake President Joe Biden's hand yesterday too. So, you know, as a young person, and her worldview, of course, is different from everyone else's too. You know, everybody carries that unique perspective. But yeah, it was, I think being in these spaces is so important to, as they say, bring more with you. And it's like, yeah, I get invited to go places, but it's kind of like meaningless too if it's just me. You know, I'd rather like share these experiences with others, and especially if my children too, so they have a little bit of insight of like what's going on when I'm on these trips and what the purpose and intent really is. It's to advocate for all of us for sure, including our elder Leonard Peltier.
Yeah, that's something your daughter is going to carry with her, and you're really educating the future generations, which is our job. And that's awesome. And that you're bringing her to these. And you know, what I've found out over the years too, Ruth, is that, you know, our politicians put on their ribbon skirt the same way everybody else does, and one foot at a time. And if you talk to them and get a chance to talk to them, don't be intimidated. They work for us.
Yes. Yep, for sure. Exactly. And I think that was one of the hardest things I had to kind of, one thing that like was loud and clear for me when I was in office was that people sort of carried this huge stigma of like a politician, and it's like, I'm just a mom, I'm a daughter, and be nice, you know, don't be mean to me. But you know, it's
yeah,
like,
exactly,
you know, because they have a lot of pressure too, and it's like, look wrong, you know, if you unintentionally are in a deep thought, it could be misinterpreted as like you're mean mugging someone, or, you know, so I don't know. It's like you're in this fishbowl and you're under this huge magnifying glass that it's one false move and, you know, it could be not good.
Well, I was intimidated by you. I think the first time I met you was at Wounded Knee in person.
I hope I'm not an intimidated person. I hope I'm pretty like approachable. No. And yeah, no problem.
Well, it's more out of respect, Ruth Anna Buffalo. You've done so much. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Native Roots Radio.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A new lawsuit opens a new front in the battle over abortion, says ABC's Richard Cantu.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing New York doctor Margaret Daly Carpenter for prescribing the so-called abortion pill to a woman near Dallas in violation of Texas law. Such prescriptions are a key reason that the number of abortions has increased in the U.S. even since state bans started taking effect.
Top Republican in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, said that efforts to undermine public confidence in proven cures are not just uninformed, they're dangerous. He was discussing the benefits of the polio vaccine, and his statement came out amid public health concerns over the influence of a lawyer close to Health Secretary nominee Robert Kennedy, who has asked the FDA to yank its approval of the current polio vaccine. Today, President-elect Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game, and South Korea's parliament voted to impeach President Yoon Suk-yeol over his decision to impose martial law. His powers and duties are suspended. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Packers head to Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another game in prime time for Green Bay. The 9-4 Packers take on the 8-5 Seahawks tomorrow night at Lumen Field. Packers wide receiver Bo Melton spent his rookie season after being drafted by Seattle and says it's definitely a loud, noisy place to play.
It's real loud, Lumen Field. It'd be shaking. It'd be rocking in there for sure. It's just, I'll say it's definitely a loud crowd. They love the Seahawks. Great atmosphere for sure to play in.
Packers defensive back Jair Alexander is out for the game, still dealing with a knee injury. He tried to make a comeback a few weeks ago against the Bears, but had to leave after just a few series. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I just didn't want to have another situation like Chicago, where you're in there for a couple plays and it puts a bind on every other area. Puts you some guys in some tough spots in regards to special teams. And then also you want to get the guys that are going to have to go play. We want to get them the reps. So I think that's an important part of it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of rain and snow and highs in the mid-30s, a bit breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, rain mixed with snow and temps around 34. For Sunday, cloudy and 42. Clouds and 42 again for Monday with a slight chance of rain, 33 on Tuesday.
Currently 26 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society, preserving and sharing Minnesota's heritage for the benefit of all Minnesotans.
Hey, before we say goodbye to Ruth Anna Buffalo, we wondered if there was anything happening at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis. If you could just give us a quick update before we let you go.
Yes, thank you. We have our winter market this Friday. Friday the 13th at 2300 15th Avenue South in Minneapolis at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. It will begin at 10 a.m. and end at 2 p.m. We have a food sale, and all of the vendor slots are full at this time. So it'll be a good time in the community room this Friday the 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Is our winter market. So that's kind of the big thing on the docket. We were going to have a monthly community meeting tonight, but due to like the construction on the top two floors, we canceled or postponed. So we'll have a community event in January. We're also looking forward to storytelling in January as well. And check our website for updates, miwrc.org, and also feel free to donate also at miwrc.org.
Big Peenigi, thank you so much for coming on. And again, thank you for what you do for the community and your family and your nation. Thank you so much, Ruth Anna Buffalo.
Lots of good odds. Thank you both.
We'll see you. Hey, we have our friend now. We're moving along here. We have Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. And Rita, I said that all in one breath.
Wow, good for you. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, well, all those years of smoking cigarettes, I still got it. Hey, a lot going on at the Minnesota Historical Society, and I know we want to talk a little bit about reconnecting our roots program, and I always say roots, but it's roots.
Is it roots? I'm not sure. I'm not going to police anybody on the pronunciation of it, but more importantly, like for short, we call it ROAR. So if that's helpful at all, because I think that's we love our acronyms over Native American Initiatives.
Yeah. And I'm slow on those, but yeah, talk a little bit about it. And I know there's applications due pretty soon. So let's let our listeners out there and Turtle Island know about this.
Yeah, so it's a program for Native teens in the Twin Cities, and we have usually a winter session and a summer session. And the winter session will start in January in about a month, but the applications are due by Friday, this Friday, the 13th. Ooh, spooky. But there is several weeks of after-school activities regarding culture and history at the History Center in St. Paul, but also at some of our other sites like the Mill City Museum. We're going to go to the James J. Hill House and do some art there. So there's a lot of different activities that students are in. So if you know any high school age students who are interested, please send them our way, and we are happy to, we'll feed them, and we will hopefully instill them with some traditional knowledge as well.
Right on. And that's who's eligible? Let's talk about that for a sec.
Any Native American students who are high school age, so we're looking 14 to 18, that are able to get to the History Center after school for those days. So we do help with mileage and stuff, reimbursements and stuff like that, but we need to make sure they can get to the History Center. So whether that is like riding with your parents, some students are really savvy about taking the bus, and I'm very, I'm surprised, but maybe it's just because I don't know if I could do that as a teenager, but so I'm impressed with their, how they could public transport needs.
So. Yeah, I had to do that before I was 16, and before I could drive around, I had to know the buses around the Twin Cities, and unless it was dark out and I pushed my car down the alley and started it so I wouldn't wake my parents. But that we can get anywhere in the Twin Cities with our with our buses and light rails and all that. Hey, what kind of stuff should they expect to learn in this program?
So we are the Historical Society, so a lot of things we do talk about is history. So hopefully there is some interest in history for the students. So hopefully social studies is their favorite subject. But if not, we do also include a lot of different cultural activities, including drum and dance. We are going to do some artwork, too, and play some games and all kinds of things. So we try to mix it up as much as we can so not it doesn't get boring. We're trying not to bore the teens. And also we want to be kind of cool, so we have to engage the teens in a certain way as well. But like, we play Noshke games, which is always fun to play with the youth, and we always like to do a food sovereignty demo, so we bring in a chef, indigenous chef, and then more importantly they get a cook, so it's like hands-on activities as well, so you're not necessarily just being talked at. It's an engagement, it's a continuation of being able to engage in your culture and your history in a different way.
So will you be there? I think I asked you this last time. Will be there helping facilitate this as Rita, the teacher or the educator?
Yeah. So I'm going to teach. One of the things I always do is the behind the scenes, visiting the collections and some of our older historic items of beadwork, quillwork, basketry, all kinds of things. I always love to talk about that. That's my wheelhouse. So being in that space and being able to share it with students is kind of really exciting. And I think it is a lot. I hope it's a lot of fun for them. And then our home native Minnesota, I always tell them the jokes that are related to the exhibits as well, to be like, oh, there was this funny story of how this came about. So really like getting that inside info, so they know a little more than that just there. So they kind of feel special.
Yeah. So that would be good for adults too, because I know we have kind of a pan Indian thing going on, but we, you know, the Ojibwe were really the dream catcher people, and started the jingle dress and things like that. So there's a lot of history that kind of gets mixed together.
Oh, definitely. If we wanted to talk about Ojibwe contributions to the society, I would love to talk about Supreme Ojibwe.
Easy.
But we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah. No, but there, I guess my point is there are different we're not all the same here, us woodland Indians in the Midwest.
Yeah. And I know we're trying to, there's a lot of our content that's really focused on Dakota and Ojibwe narratives, but we are trying to diversify to include our Ho-Chunk relatives, our Meskwaki relatives, knowing that this place that is now Minnesota wasn't always just Dakota and Ojibwe, right? There was so many people moving through and those relationships. So we're doing all kinds of different projects to kind of bring in those narratives to be able to add more to the story. And we're never taking away anybody's story. We're always adding to the story and completing the story.
So how many days a month is this program?
Oh, it's only one. This in the winter session, it's one evening a week. So Thursday evenings. And 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's 8 weeks. I was like, I'm counting. It's 8 weeks. Yeah. So it's 2 months that we spend with us. It's not terrible. And to be able to, in a couple hours of those nights after school. And the great thing too is that students participate, get a stipend. So we're trying to not like put sugar on top of it, but be like, hey, you spent this time engaging in your culture and history, really being determined to learn more, to be intentionally there, to be in a space to with other Native teens as well, to, you know, create like some kind of relationship. So it just shows, I feel like, a lot of commitment for young teens, which is, I think, is also something that is really good to instill in them.
Well, it's a big commitment from the Minnesota Historical Society and your group too, and the cost, I do believe, is free, and you get a stipend, and that's amazing, and that we're at this point in our, or I should say my life, but at this point in our living time, is that, you know, you have this great initiative going on.
Yeah, and I'm just so grateful to be able, and I'm hoping in the future we'll be able to develop things for younger kids as well, because we're starting with the teens. We have plenty of programs for adults, I feel like, but really engaging at a younger ages, because it is like our culture and history should be, you know, taught continuously. And it's so how can we make it more accessible for all of our people?
Well, I know you're set up there with your husband's gaming area there, and you have a better mic than me and headphones. I know your staff is doing some narrative things. And Rita, are you one of the voiceover people?
Well, so it's our narrative things that, like, I have done voiceover work for some of our textbook thing, but there's a big project right now. I'm not sure if either of you are aware, but the Historical Society creates the sixth grade social studies textbook that is taught in 80% of Minnesota schools. And in sixth grade, that's Minnesota studies. So it's very specific on the history of Minnesota. And right now they are in the developing the third edition of that textbook. So with that, we're reviewing all the chapters. We're reviewing all the extra videos and other resources to add so that teachers have the right tools they need to be able to teach Minnesota history. And like a huge part of Minnesota history, I think we know, is the indigenous history. And so we're lucky that there are several chapters on those, but we are working specifically to make sure that there is more accurate and appropriate and up-to-date information, because it's been a decade since it was last updated, to really share contemporary stories in the now and not things that I know the youth thinks this stuff from 10 years ago is way old. So we have to make those updates to keep up with the kids.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're with Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to grill you with some more questions here and see how you do. But we really appreciate all the work that you do. It's fantastic. And we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
I only heard two voices there. But hey, we are here with two howls. That's kind of hard to say. I really had to move my mouth. But hey, we're here with Rita Arndt, Program and Outreach Manager with the Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. And we're just talking about all the good things. I also want you, every time you come on, I think it's such a great thing that you guys do on Thursdays to mention that right off the bat, so our people listening can be reminded of that.
Yeah, every Thursday at the History Center in St. Paul, it's our free night, so free admission. So come see our exhibits. We have two Native exhibits, Our Home on Native Minnesota and Reframing Our Stories. And we also have a Native aspect in the Girlhood exhibit around res ball. So there's a lot of stuff to see at the exhibit. So please come and visit, and for free, because that's the best day to go.
Yeah, definitely. And look for Rita around there. And we were talking earlier too that we're doing Shakopee's Native Roots Trading Post is going to be out at Shakopee this weekend too. And we'll be selling Kathy Coates' book out there as we did at the fair, and we did so well. And that's a Minnesota Historical Society publication.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. How timely! I actually met with our MNHS Press today with their editorial staff to really talk about how we can collaborate and work better together, because they have a really good longstanding reputation of working with Native authors to really share those like undertold stories. And I brought up the Ho-Chunk, Kathy Coatsburg, The Banished Forever, because it is something that so many people do not know or are familiar with, because we're so Dakota and Ojibwe centric that we want to share this history more. What does that look like? And having a book like that is really helping pave the path so that we can share that throughout not only the press, but maybe through some of our sites, our exhibits, and other content that MNHS helps create.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we talk about the Northern Lights book too, that interactive ebook, you know, that provides social studies curriculum. And that's so exciting to hear, because, you know, it became law here in Minnesota a few years ago. And I think in the beginning, it was a little hard to find some curriculum. So Minnesota Historical Society is stepping up is just awesome.
Yeah, and we have a wonderful teacher education department. They're all former teachers, so they have been in the classroom. They know what tools are needed and how to talk with teachers about their needs. So that's a really great thing, because I don't have that background. So to be able to match them with how to develop curriculum and how to really tell these stories, especially at a sixth grade level, and me with the knowledge, like I know the history, I know how to share these stories, but like what's the best approach for some of these students? And it is really great to be able to highlight some of those things that a lot of folks don't know. So let's get the kids to know, because I think one of my favorite things is having the youth share what they've learned with the, you know, adults in their life and be like, oh, did you know this? And they'd be like, well, I wasn't taught that in school. And you're like, well, let's talk about why and think about how it is important. How great that Minnesota does have those standards to include Dakota and Ojibwe, and hopefully going forward, more of those stories to be embedded into what is taught today.
Yeah, a really good point. And, how that gets into how you're assisting the educators and the teaching the students about Native culture. And it's so important. And we always have to remind, and I think we were talking about this a little earlier, especially with the Ho-Chunk story of being banished here, is that, you know, when we were here before colonization, there were no boundaries.
Yeah. And that's another, like, I always love to like demystify some of these stereotypes, these myths, because the people are like, oh, they were fighting each other all the time, all this and this. I'm like, no. I was like, yes. And our level of kinship amongst our tribes was so much stronger and deeper than any kind of fighting. So I was like, I'm trying to embed that. Today, I was reviewing a chapter on treaties, and I was like, well, yes, we had separate treaties, but there's so much more amongst our tribes that we work together and that have lasted even throughout all of this colonization and everything that we still hold on to today. And I really am like trying to embed that into things like this textbook so that people understand that.
Yeah. Wow. That's exciting. We only got a few more minutes, but I wanted to ask you, was your team involved with the Minnesota Wild hockey team when they recently had their Native American Heritage Month, where they had jerseys and masks? Because I'm still waiting for my jersey. Oh, wow.
No, I was like, we have acquired one of the masks that Cole Red Horse Taylor designed. We work with Cole Taylor a lot. He was a former artist in residence. He's a friend of us. We're actually going to be installing a case for him in the Our Home Native Minnesota with some of his works that he's done. So stay tuned for that. I was like, spoiler alert, that'll be happening very soon. And we've been working really closely with him to really have his voice heard. So it is directly from the source.
Yeah, that's exciting. And amplifying and knowing all the artists here. And, you know, one of the interesting things that we talk about here on Native Roots Radio, because the Minneapolis Public Schools has reported that there's over 150 different tribes that are in Minnesota, which in Minneapolis specifically, which blew my mind. And also I heard the statistic that we have like 75,000 urban Indians here. And that's an amazing, both those are amazing numbers.
Yeah, and how part of how we've approached that at the Historical Society is that exhibit Reframing Our Stories, which really tells the you know, when the 60s and 70s, when a lot of our urban natives were, you know, are like, we need to create our own organizations, we need to create our own schools, we need to create our own things and the legacies that they've left us. So it is something that we were like, urban, it's like, it's a whole thing, and it's a completely different aspect of history, but it's like, we're still indigenous. Like, we just happen to be living not on the reservation, and and we always have been too. So getting that instilled to people's minds that it's not always been the reservation. We've always inhabited these spaces.
And I want to bring Haley in for just a second, because I love that quote from the documentary from Anna May that you bring up, and it talks about, you know, when they tried to get us into the cities and destroy us, made us stronger. Do you remember the quote?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it was kind of along what you just said, but yeah, the Allotment Act and being pushed into urban settings was meant to like diminish our culture. And instead it kind of had the opposite effect. It kind of put us urban Indians together with different kind of practices from neighboring tribes. And that kind of made us stronger.
Yeah. And I believe that too. And that happens, you know, with the natives that were here in the 60s and 70s. And when you talk about Minnesota Historical Society, that's recent history, and that's our history too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will always share the urban story, because I think there's so much that we've learned from it. And the reason that my department exists, I think, is because of the people who've paved the way, from the urban natives who have paved the way for us. So Jimmy Gwich to them.
Definitely. Well, and I want to say a big peeny geegee to you for being on and talking about what's happening at the Minnesota Historical Society. I think it's a thing that needs to be get on and talk about on top of the mountains, and let people know that it's a safe educational place for us and all our allies to come down and learn more about us. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and we're always happy if you ever want to stop by and talk more about the exhibits, what resources we have. We have a library. Just let me know, and I'm happy to host you. I'm happy to bring you in.
Right on. You know, I love books. So, hey, thank you very much, Peeny Geegee, for being on, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elected officials continue their criticism of the federal government over its response to the reports of drones, mostly in New Jersey. Federal and military authorities say they've not assessed any threat. The FAA has published a new website and information about drones. In a video on the site, FAA spokesman Kevin Morris says,
"The FAA regulates drones to keep our nation's airspace safe and efficient. This includes who can fly them, where they can fly them, and at what altitudes."
Authorities in New York City say there are indications the man accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson will end his fight against extradition from Pennsylvania, where he remains in custody. Today, President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game. On social media Friday, he said that Republicans will do everything in their power to end daylight saving time. And Texas sued a New York doctor for providing abortion pills to a woman in the Dallas area. This is ABC News.